So we're in a series. We're in a new series now. And this series is going to lead us into Christmas time. It's a 4-week series. Christmas Eve will be the last of it in the Christmas Eve morning. And then we're going to get together and celebrate on Christmas Eve evening. We have two services this year for Christmas Eve. One is in Comox and one is in Courtney. Isn't that cool? If you're from Comox, there's a place for you there. Maybe you have friends in Comox that you come out to that one. If you're from Courtney, we'll be here. But we're carrying on this series all the way up until Christmas Eve. He will be called. Many of us who've been a part of the church for a long time, who've been Christians for a long time, or who've been to Christmas Eve services or things, we often can recognize that. You might hear, he will be called, and you know who I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, you maybe even know the scripture that I'm referring to when I say he will be called. But for those of you who don't, or for those of you who need a little history lesson on what was going on when these words were said, basically, God had called these people called Israel. And Israel were the people that God had identified as the ones that he was going to bless and he was going to establish and he was going to work with. And as he grew them up, all other nations would be blessed because of them. This was God's picture. And so he one time went to a man named Abraham and said, I have plans for you, Abraham. I have dreams that I want you to hold on to. I have a place that's called the Promised Land. It's Canaan. And I want you to go there eventually. And there I will establish you and I will make your family as numerous as the stars in the sky. And it's at that place that I will bless you and all nations will be blessed through you. And so that was the dream all along. It took generations and generations and generations. It took lots of wandering. It took slavery and a number of things before all of a sudden they got in the Promised Land. They came to the place they were meant to be. They came to the place that they had always dreamt of, and they landed in the Promised Land. Well, Isaiah is a prophet, and he's speaking while Israel is living in the Promised Land. But while they're there, they haven't seen a lot of the things that God had promised. They haven't seen some of the things that they wanted to see because they started serving other gods. They started living different kinds of ways. They started turning their back on the God that had saved them and not really giving him much of their attention at all. And eventually God kept warning and saying, come on, come back to me. I want relationship with you. I want to meet with you. I want to grow with you. I want you to walk with me. But they kept turning away. And so Isaiah is actually speaking into that group of people, Israel. And he says, listen, Israel. It's all falling apart, actually, now. You're going to have to leave. These nations that are around you, that God has been protecting you from, that God has been sort of insulating you from, they are now going to win. You have turned away from God, and so he's going to let you go into their hands, and they get exiled into Assyria and Babylon. And so all of a sudden, or this is when Isaiah is speaking, he's saying, just so you know, this is about to happen. Things are about to go bad for you. Things are about to look really rough for you. You're about to experience the loss of a dream, the loss of what you felt you were entitled to, the loss of the land flowing with milk and honey, the loss of everything that your people have ever dreamt of. You're about to experience the loss of that, says Isaiah. What a crushing moment for them. And then Isaiah comes back with this. And he says, but for us, a child is born. A son is given and the government will be on his shoulders. Not the government, like their government, not necessarily the Roman government, this when Jesus showed up, not necessarily our Canadian government. It's not that God, this guy is going to come up and pick up Justin Trudeau and put them on the shoulders, but the government will be a new government, a new kingdom, a new plan, a new way of living, a new everything. The government will be on his shoulders and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. See, Isaiah says that all of this mess is happening. You're going to be pushed out of where you thought you should be living. You're going to be pushed out of where you've dreamt of and what was promised to you. And the great land, you're going to be pushed out of that. But there is a solution. There is a brighter day. There is a time when it can all turn around. There is a time when the relationship that is currently being broken between you and God, there is a time where the situation that you're living in, which is currently really dire and ugly and not good, there is a solution for this issue, and he has a name. It's Jesus. And he will be called the Wonderful Counselor. He will be called the Mighty God. He will be called the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. That's the solution to your problems. Eventually, a baby is going to come. This is a highly relational message. That here God pours out into Isaiah and then Isaiah into Israel. He doesn't say the solution is, guess what? You're going to go away, but the solution is if you do some of the right things, if you act some of the right ways, if you behave in some of the ways that you should have behaved all along and do some of that stuff, then you will be able to come back. Then you will be able to restore the promise. Then you will be able to see your relationship with God grow again when you do it. No, that's past. That life is gone. That's not going to happen. God has come up with a new strategy, and it has nothing to do with what Israel's capable of. It has nothing to do with what they can accomplish. It has nothing to do with how well they follow the rules or not. It has nothing to do with how well they can bring about peace or how mighty they are going to be or how good of fathers they are going to be or good of children they are going to be. It has nothing to do with the wise counsel that they can give one another or that others can give them. It has everything to do with the relationship with this child who's going to come. His name is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. See, we have a tendency, I think, when these situations come, where we sort of look at the names that he'd be called. Okay, so if he's going to be the Wonderful Counselor, then probably what that means is that he's going to give us wise understanding. He's going to help us understand things. He's going to point us in the right direction. He'll be a guide for us, and he'll teach us how to go in the right direction. And so sometimes we just think, well, I'll just go in the right direction then. I'll just do that. If that's what he's supposed to do, then I'll just do it myself, and then I probably don't even need him. If that's what salvation is that I would be counseled in the right direction, then I probably don't even need him. But God doesn't say you're going to be saved because of the wise counsel that comes to you. He says you're going to be saved because of the Wonderful Counselor that's going to come to you. And the relationship with him, wahoo. The relationship that's going to grow there. It's not the counsel, it's the counselor. It's not the peace, it's the Prince of Peace. It's not the might that you carry, it's the Mighty God that comes to you. It's not even just the idea of having an identity because you know who your Father is. It's knowing the Father, knowing the Everlasting Father, knowing that you're forever secure in the protection of God and who God is. See, we sometimes think that this must be some tips for how we can walk into salvation. But God doesn't just give us salvation tips. He gives us relationship. Wahoo. That's a tweetable wahoo. God doesn't just give us salvation tips. He gives us relationship. He doesn't just come and say, here's all the things. Check off the boxes and you'll be saved. A wise counselor might say that to you. You know, they're going to hear what you're walking through. A wise counselor, either the one that you think about at a doctor or the one that's going to deal with you with your emotional or mental state, or the one who, like Pastor Daniel spoke about last week, the one who represents you in court, they're going to direct you in a way to go. They're going to tell you the things that they think you should do. Here are the next steps. Here are the things that you should accomplish. If you will do these things, you're good. The wise counselor will show you where to go, will show you what to do. And this week, as I was preparing this message, I was like, God, what is different? I want to know, I want to understand a bit more tangibly what's different about your counseling. What's different about knowing this Wonderful Counselor than just that? What does your counseling look like different? Is it, do you care more? Yes, probably. Do you walk closer? Yes, probably. You know, do you direct us more clearly? Yes, probably. But I felt like God started to say to me, Evan, it's not about the counseling that I'm doing. It's about the Wonderful It's about the wonder of who I am. It's about the wonder of what can be accomplished, because we think about the counseling and think, God, just give me the right answers and then I'll live for you. But God doesn't want us just to live for him. He wants us to live with him. God doesn't want us to just start checking the boxes and follow his plans. He wants to walk alongside us as we do. And so God's not going to tell you, here's what the rest of your life looks like. As long as you follow through and do that, you'll come to heaven with me. He says, here's what today looks like. Let's talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow, I can't wait. Because I like talking to you. I like spending time with you. I like walking with you. The wonderful counselor. Because when we start to expect what God would say to us, we know, oh, I know what God would say. I know I should be reading my Bible. I know I should be doing that. I know this. I know that. It will all line up once I do that. I just know that that's what I have to do. But this word wonderful actually means that you can't expect it. That it's incomprehensible. That it's surprising, that it's miraculous. It's wonderful. Sometimes we think of wonderful as pretty, we've got a pretty weak understanding of wonderful. Like, how are you doing? Wonderful, thank you for asking. See how much I'm smiling? I must be wonderful. Like, look at this, I'm wonderful, wahoo. That's who I am, you know? That's not wonderful. That's good, maybe great. Smile a little more, and maybe great. It's not wonderful. We say, well, you know, this is a great day. It's just wonderful. It's just nice. And we just think it just means good. When people think about that with the counselor, it must mean he's a good counselor. It must mean he's the best counselor. No, it means he's a surprising counselor. It means his direction for your life is going to shock you. It means that every day when you come to him and say, where do we go today? You're going to be amazed. You're not even going to understand what he's going to say. He's going to say, you go here, and you're going to think that's impossible, and he's going to say, awesome, you're going to need me. Let's do it together. Let's go for it together. He believes in it. It's incomprehensible to us. It's not about him just giving us good, wise counsel. There's people in this room that could give you good, wise counsel, but no one can give you wonderful counselor, but the wonderful, no one can give you wonderful counsel, but the wonderful counselor. He wants relationship with you. He doesn't want you to just leave him and do what's smart. There's this verse that I've been holding on to, or chunk of verses that I've been holding on to for a while. I haven't known when I was going to use them. I've wanted to for a while because it just caught me off guard a little bit ago, and it fits today. I just feel it, this is kind of what it looks like to walk in God's presence rather than just in God's process. That we believe for God's presence in our life, not just for his process with our life. That we want the counselor, not just the counsel of God in our lives. And so there's this time, and Peter's one of Jesus' disciples, as most of us know. And Peter and Jesus are hanging out, and when they're hanging out, they're about to be asked to do something which process would be quite obvious, that wise counsel would be quite obvious on this one, and yet the wonderful counselor shows up in Peter's life. Matthew 17, 24 to 27. It says, after Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Now, this isn't a Roman tax. This isn't the government tax. This isn't that. This is for the use of the temple. That the temple, that the people who use the temple should pay for the temple, essentially, should look after the temple, essentially, and say, well, doesn't he do that? Doesn't he pay for that? And Peter says, yes, he does, he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. I love when Jesus does that, by the way. Peter's just had a conversation outside, but he's about to walk in, and Jesus is going to respond to the question, to the conversation he just had. He was the first to speak. He says, what do you think, Simon? He asked. From who do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others? Here's what Jesus is saying. Peter, remember I'm the Son of God? Remember I'm family? We're in cahoots. Whose house is this again? Oh, God's? Yeah, yeah. Do you think God's going to collect money from me? Really? You think that's true? Like that's obviously not the case, Peter. You know who I am. I know who I am. I know what is involved with me. I know what's going to be charged to me. I know what's necessary. So the wise counsel is at this point to either say, listen, you know who I am. I'm the Son of God. Let's go. Or is to say, let's just sort of sneak out of here and let's let them do their thing. They don't quite understand it. They don't get it, or they don't know. Or else it's to like, I find some money somewhere. And Jesus is going to do something that seems shocking to me. In fact, it seems wonderful to me. It seems surprising to me, miraculous to me, incomprehensible to me. It seems wonderful to me. The advice he's about to give Peter, the direction he's about to give Peter, isn't the due process. It's the presence of God that gives that type of advice. There are some things that tomorrow you need to do that you won't know you're supposed to do unless you're in the presence of God tomorrow. Not today, but tomorrow. And here's what happens. Peter says, from others. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Has anyone ever done that before? No? Okay, Jesus. Imagine Peter, right? Jesus. You remember what I did before I started following you around and doing this whole thing? Yeah, I remember, Peter. Yeah, I was a fisherman. Yes, I remember, Peter. I see you weren't very good. But anyways, we'll carry on. You were a fisherman. Yeah, so I've done this a lot of years, fished a lot of times, seen a lot of fish, opened a lot of fish's mouths. I've never gotten money out of there, let alone money specifically for the amount that I need to pay the temple tax today for myself and my friend who doesn't have any money. So this is kind of, I'm not sure if this is the, but Peter goes and does it. This is what it looks like to have the counsel of one to whom you're in the presence of, rather than from one who you're just following process with. When you're in the presence with God, all of a sudden he starts speaking in different ways. He starts telling you to do incomprehensible, surprising, miraculous, and unexpected things. And Peter goes out and he just fishes out. You can imagine this is weird. I don't know what I'm doing. I've done this a million times and it never has happened before. And Jesus is so funny. Oh, what? You know, wow. That is wonderful. You know, if someone says to Peter at that point, how are you doing? Wonderful. That's when you can use it. Don't get to use it any other time. Well, how are you doing, Peter? Wonderful. You know? I'm shocked. I'm amazed. I can't believe what just happened. Jesus just told me to go fishing. Now, I don't know. It's often that we are in our most mundane of circumstances like Peter would have been. He was going fishing like he had always done before. He had always been fishing before, and he had never expected to see something like this before. And yet today, he goes out and he sees it. I wonder how many of us, because we're living our Christian lives in process, rather than in presence, don't expect that we're going to see God do anything at our workplace. We don't expect that we're going to show up to work and see something incredible happen. I wonder if something miraculous or unexpected or incomprehensible or surprising could happen here at my workplace. Instead, often we say, I'm going to treat people nicely. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to do good things because I know that Christians do good things. Yes, Christians do walk out that process, but it's because they're in the presence of God. And when they're in the presence of God, the counselor doesn't just give advice. The counselor shows up with wonder into their lives. It says, what new things could happen here and now in your place of work even? I wonder if you've expected in the last week, month, year to be surprised by what God asks of you in your life. Because when you're in his presence, he gives more than just good advice that a counselor would give. He gives wonderful counsel that might direct you somewhere you had no idea you were going. You can imagine after the disciples had spent some time with Jesus and given, you know, given their lives that way, that when Jesus said he was going to go and die, that they might have said, okay, we can do this. We've seen how you live. We'll now live that way and we'll change the world. You know, we'll just live that way. We'll follow the process. We'll take the steps. We've practiced with you and now we'll carry on what we're supposed to do, Jesus. You go. Do your cross thing. You go die, and we're going to go, and we can do this. But Jesus is so passionate about presence over process. God, so passionate about presence over process. They say, no, this isn't how it's going to work, actually. Because when I go, John 14, 15, 17, it says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask my Father when I go, and he will give you another Advocate. Another word for that other translations use is counselor or comforter. Worship team, you can come on up. Jesus starts talking about the Holy Spirit. That's not because he doesn't think they know the process. They know the process. They know how to treat people well. They know how to do Christian things. They've just watched Jesus. There's no one better equipped to act like a Christian than these people. But Jesus doesn't want them to act like Christians. He wants them to be in relationship with him. There's actually too much acting like Christians in our world. A little bit too much of the checking off all the process and doing the Christian things and having no presence in our life. There's actually too many people that Christians should have gone and talked to, should have gone and supported, should have gone and looked after, should have gone and cared for, should have gone and done that, but it didn't match the process, and I didn't hear God because I wasn't with him. God doesn't ever set up rules for us and process with us that aren't meant to lead us to relationship with him. They were all built for us to lead into relationship with him. If you read through the Old Testament, you can't say otherwise. When God gave rules, it was out of relationship. When God gave the Ten Commandments, he had just done the greatest miracles that we'll ever talk about in the history of humankind. And he said, now you know who I am, and you know that I want relationship with you. Here's what it looks like. Follow these rules and watch how we're going to grow together. But he wanted relationship, not rules. He wanted presence, not process. And we so quickly turn it to process, say, I just want some good advice, God. Can you just tell me what to do with my life? And he says, I don't want to just tell you what to do with your life. I want to be with you in your life. I want to live your life with you. I want to walk alongside of you. I'm not just going to tell you what to do a month from now because I hope that we've met 30 times before a month from now. We spent time together and chatted and seen miracles by then. I'm not just good counsel, I'm the wonderful counselor. A translation of that word, counselor, for the Holy Spirit, I've seen it, advocate or comforter or counselor. I think it's all. He's the advocate. He fights for you, he believes in you, he believes in who you are. There's not a day that goes by that God doesn't look at you and say, I can't believe what could happen through this life. He's your advocate. He's your comforter, like the classic counselor, hearing your story, hearing what you're going through, walking with you, reminding you who you are, loving you, caring for you. He's the counselor, giving advice, pointing you in a direction, sharing where you should go, guiding you through life. All the while, he's wonderful, and that he wants to pull you close enough to direct you in places that you wouldn't have gone without his presence in your life. The wonderful counselor. The wonderful counselor wants relationship with you, wants you to walk in his presence. This isn't a story. The Christmas story isn't about learning how to live. It's about learning who gives you life. It's not about you learning how you can restore your relationship with God. It's about you learning who came to restore your relationship with God. It's about a baby, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And he wants a relationship with you. Not just one good piece of advice, but daily relationship leading you to incomprehensible, unexplainable, surprising, miraculous places in your faith that won't come from you following some sort of process or rules. Will come because you sat in the presence of God and you continue to allow the Wonderful Counselor to speak into your life, shape you, direct you, guide you, draw you in, and remind you of who you are. So would you just bow your heads with me for a moment, close your eyes. If today you say, you know what, I think I want that presence in my life. If today you say, I want that daily kind of presence. I want to know what that looks like. I've been following process. Maybe you say, I've been following process for too long and my Christian faith is a bunch of acts and I just go through the steps and I think that's enough. Today's the day where you repent of that and you can say, God, I want to follow your plan, which was not to follow a process, but to know your presence. He's faithful to give you his presence today. Maybe you're brand new to this. You've never heard of Christianity before. You've never been part of it. You've never confessed your sins and followed Jesus. Today, God is saying to you, this message is for you as much as it's for the person who's been here 50 years. If you want my presence, it's yours. If you want to know what tomorrow looks like, meet me tomorrow. If you want to know where to go today, I want to give you my presence today. I don't want to just give you advice. I want to be your Wonderful Counselor. Today, if you say, I need that presence in my life, I need to experience that in my life right now. I need to know the Wonderful Counselor. I need to know the presence of God in my life. And I want him to direct my steps tomorrow, not the process of Christianity, but the presence of Christ. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Who needs it? Yes, amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'll pray for you. God bless you, God bless you and you. Amen to both of you. Amen. Is there anyone upstairs that says, I need that? Yeah, God bless you. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. The presence of God. I want the presence of God in my life. I want to know the presence. God bless you. I want to know the presence of God, not just the process of God. Lord, I just pray that you would meet these people even right now, that they would experience your presence and know the fullness that you have for them, Lord. That they would experience all that they're meant to experience, Lord. They would know today and forevermore that Christianity is not a process. It's not a bunch of steps that make you good and saved. But Lord, you're looking to restore relationship. And you did that through relationship with Christ. You did that through relationship with your Holy Spirit, that we could know God. We could be restored to God, that we could be reminded of your promises for us, of the great things you have for us. Lord, today I pray that those who've raised their hand would know more than just wise counsel in their life, but they would know the Wonderful Counselor in their life, Jesus Christ, who showed up as a baby, and he showed up to change the world, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for lives change. In Jesus' name we pray. And anyone who believes it says, yeah. Amen. Come on, come on. Let's give it up to Jesus. Changing lives. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's got hope for each one of us. Dreams for each one of us. Why don't we all stand up? If you're here and you signed, if you raised your hand, would you write down some stuff about you on a connect card that's right in front of you? We'd love to get to know you, love to connect you into the church, love to help you meet some people like you, walking through similar things as you. God bless. Have a great week. Go with the Wonderful Counselor, not the process, but the presence of God. Have a great week.